Welcome to the Procurement Conversation, where we talk to industry leaders about the hottest topics in procurement. Welcome to episode 7 of our CPO Conversation series. This week, we're joined by Lauren Jones, CPO at Amazon Fresh. Lauren, welcome.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So just to start, could you talk us through your background and how you got into procurement?
Yeah, so I have been in retail procurement for the last decade. I got into procurement many years ago. A family member recommended it as an internship in telecoms. So I did a stint in telecoms at what was then Global Crossing. They are now Level 3. Left that, decided to do recruitment and other things for a couple of years. And then kind of wanted the competitive edge to stay in my role, but to go back to doing things that link to legal. I have like a draw to contracts and negotiations. So applied to do Lidl's first UK grad scheme. And that was their first head office grad scheme. I think lots of people are aware of the ones they do in stores. And they hired 4 of us from about 7,000 applicants. And the other 3 went into logistics and I went into procurement. Stayed there for a couple of years, learned an awful lot, really enjoyed it. It was fast paced. It's when Lidl were having hyper growth in the UK. Really exciting, really interesting. But wanted to experience it in maybe more an established procurement function. So moved across to Sainsbury's. Whilst I was at Sainsbury's, we acquired Argos. So I did a lot of synergy work. I learned a lot about kind of change management, change processes, cost transformation programs. And then I moved on from Sainsbury's to Waitrose and John Lewis, where I headed up retail procurement for about 5 years, and brought in and out various teams and categories into that remit over the years. I did a secondment into payments, where I specialised in the payments sector, looking at John Lewis Financial Services and other aspects of the business. And then 8 months ago, I moved over to Amazon Fresh, keeping with me my retail background, but also entering a tech market and a different industry to what I'd worked in before.
What drives you?
Do you know what? I'm really competitive. So I come from a sports background. I used to swim to a pretty high standard. And I'm driven by, and do you know what? When I talk to a lot of other CPOs, I always refer to it as ego. And I say, we've all got an ego. And that's why we go to work and do things. Otherwise, we'd all do very different things. But I strive to innovate. And I think that gets my competitive nature out of me because I'm kind of racing against others. I want to get to the answer first or do something that nobody's done or think outside of the box and be creative. So that motivates me. And then in terms of motivation outside of work, it's my family and making sure that my children have someone that they look up to and think, yeah, my mum works hard and that's what I want to grow up and do as well.
What else do you do outside of work?
2 young boys, so they take up an awful lot of time. I just spend a lot of time at Saturday morning and Sunday morning at football. I am running the marathon in April and I'm runner, so I'm slowly but surely getting to grips with long runs on an evening. So yeah, quite a lot of sports. I sit on the panel for supply diversity for the UK, so I spend a bit of time supporting that and working with other big organisations and small organisations to see what we can do to change things here in the UK. Do you know what? I seem to always be busy. 9 weddings to go to this year, so there's always something filling my diary. Yeah.
What's the one thing you want your CEO to know about procurement?
Do you know what? That's a really good question. I think the one thing I'd want them to know is that procurement can do more than just drive cost out of a business. I think in retail procurement in particular, many people I've worked with or functions I've worked in, that's still kind of what they're known for from the board and also from just other stakeholders and other business units. And I think procurement definitely needs to do a lot of rebranding of itself in terms of how not only we always say, oh, we can drive value and we can do other stuff, but we can also do more than that. Like we can support in risk functions, we can innovate. Now that we've got our carbon goals, we could take the lead on sustainability and push that through. We can do a lot of work in diversity. And I think there's a lot more to be said for procurement and cost saving. And if I was to add another one, it's that the people are key. A lot of my counterparts and my colleagues will say they're really into the tech, and I totally get the tech and procurement. I think the tech can only go so far, and then you need the right people. And I think people are really important in procurement.
Do you think procurement burnout's a thing? And if so, what do you know, what's causing it and what we can do about it?
I think burnout in general is a thing that can happen to anybody, right? If you are having a lot of stress put on you, whether it's at work, at home, and everything just kind of erupts and turns into to one bigger stress, and then definitely I think burnout's a thing. And also it depends on your tolerance for stress. I have quite high tolerance for stress and being busy and running on zero, and I kind of enjoy that in a weird way. But I know others who, if they had to do what I do in a day, that wouldn't suit them and kind of how they would function normally. I think in COVID times it was tough. I remember waking up in the middle of the night to ring China to try and get hold of some gloves because everyone wanted them, and loads of my colleagues and friends and family were furloughed, and I was probably working harder than I'd ever worked. But I think there are times in procurement where you get to go away and do strategic work, and you can have that time to think and to process things. Whereas if you're in an operational role, you potentially don't get that chance to change and to go from peaks and troughs of workload and the type of work you're doing. So I can definitely see how it is a thing. And I think procurement have had a lot thrown at them in the last few years with everything that's going on in the global economy and COVID and Brexit before that. But I think it's all dependent on the individual and how they manage that and what the organization offers them. How much does their line manager notice that? Is there things to help them? Are they giving them time off? Are they checking in on them? Are there apps or support with counseling or meditation? So yeah, it's definitely a thing, but I think it could be a thing in lots of different operations within the business.
How do you define and measure success for your team?
It's really interesting. I was saying that some the other day. Someone said, "Oh, what's your savings targets for your team?" And I said, "Nobody has any right now, because I've got them all focused on things that I think help develop them as individuals, whether that be something they've never done before, something I think they might have a real passion for later in their career, and that in turn help improve the skill set of our team, but also hit our metrics as a team." So I obviously do have savings targets attributed to myself and my business unit. I also have, contract coverage targets and all the usual procurement metrics. But rather than push those onto individuals and say, "You have to do X so I can deliver Y," I try and set them targets that I think are enjoyable, are driving the right behaviors, and in turn will enable me to hit my targets. If someone likes what they're doing, then you're going to get a lot more out of them than telling them and putting them under pressure to deliver a certain percentage out of their area.
So talking about people, what skills do you think we need for the future of procurement?
Oh, great question. So I actually don't look for necessarily procurement backgrounds or procurement skills when I'm hiring people into procurement. I really think those are things that we can teach and we should be able to teach really well. I think there are obviously the basics that you would love somebody to be able to do. They need to be able to communicate well. They need to be able to engage people and kind of inspire people, negotiate with them. And be quite persuasive. I look for people who bring the right energy and enthusiasm. I really think it goes a long way in procurement because you spend a lot of time with different people trying to re-engage people in what we do. And if someone's enthusiastic about that and they're driven by, it could be a variety of reasons. If I take one person I work with, it's all about doing the right thing for the planet, sustainability. And they're not an SR, a sustainability expert by any means. But they're so engaged by that. When they go to talk to their stakeholders or to their peers or to other people, it comes to life. So they're talking about an RFP, but they're saying, "And as part of that, we're going to improve sustainability in our business, and that's going to deliver this for the planet and my family and my home." And I really look for people like that who are bringing the right energy, the right level of passion and interest. I think there's a lot to be said for people coming from kind of longer careers in other areas like legal, people who are maybe in marketing, then move across to do marketing procurement, because being an expert in some of those areas does enable you to do the job really well. Like I said, we can teach the skill set of procurement. We have the tools, the templates, the systems. So if that person has the knowledge and the interest, they can also bring a lot to the table. And I think it's about having diverse people. I've worked in places where I've looked around the room and I've been the only person like me. And I've worked in places where I've looked around the room and we've all been really similar. And I definitely think you get a lot more out of everybody being different and bringing different perspectives and challenges to your team.
And how do you make sure that you're working in diverse teams now?
It's a really good question. So I think if I look around the room and everyone's agreed to something, then we're not doing the right thing. And I heard someone say earlier this week that when they have that, if the people are right for the role, if they're good people and they're in the role for the right reasons, they make sure that somebody's role in that room is to play devil's advocate for every meeting. They don't tell the others that that's what that person's coming to do. They're given the nod in advance. And then they come in and they bring the challenge. And I've never got to a point yet where I need to do that. I think recruiting from different areas and in different ways, making sure you don't just always go with recommendations because therefore they're people you know already and you're kind of shrinking your pool. And yeah, just trying to look for people who have different backgrounds to you. Or I remember a period where everyone, and I sound really sector specific from my background, but where everyone was like, that's it, you're only ever going to work in retail. Like that is you done. And I was like, oh, I hope not. And I don't mind it, but I'd like to think that that's not what defines me when it comes to an interview or when I'm working in a group of people. I'd like to think that if anything, if I walked into a media business, I might bring a totally different perspective because of my background. And I'm quite passionate about just bringing different people with different ages and different experiences in as well. I think we end up at procurement picking people up at the same point in their careers and they either stick it to the end or kind of we lose them quite quickly. So it's about getting that diverse range of people interested in the role, advertising it in different ways. I was a recruiter many years ago. So I know all about, the wording and the language that goes into a job description to make it open that lots of people would want to apply. And I think that's really important.
Do you see a talent shortage in procurement, or do you think that's just an excuse that some people use?
There's definitely talent out there. It is competitive. There are individuals that, as we all do as leaders, we keep our eye on and we know where they are and what they're doing. We check in with them. But I am aware that the people I'm checking in with are checking in with others. So I know that for certain things, I wouldn't say there's a shortage, but I think we are probably all fishing from the same pool. And a lot of that does come down to what I said before, where we're not looking outside of our own world. We're not tapping into people who have maybe been lawyers for 10 years and have an interest, or people who are in sales who could do the same thing as us, but on the other side. They're great to bring into procurement teams. So, yeah, I think I do see that potentially in the future there might be a shortage. Are we bringing in graduates and apprentices into our area as much as, finance are? No. Do we advertise about it enough? No. I did an apprenticeship a couple of years ago for a master's, and I did it in leadership because I couldn't see any being advertised or focused on procurement or anything within our remit, which is so disappointing. I'd like to think that we're out there as much as the HR qualification is. So yeah, I think there might be one in the future, but right now the talent's there. It's just, are we all looking at the right people?
Do you think as a profession we rely too much on people falling into procurement?
100%. Nearly everyone I speak to has fallen into procurement, or someone said they might like it and they've given it a try. And I just think we don't, very rarely do I get a phone call saying, would you go in and talk at a school? And my other half, he works in engineering and he gets asked all the time, could he go to a college? Could he pop up to a uni and encourage people to be in engineering? And I think, why is no one Like what I do can be quite exciting. I can tell a good story. You can tangibly see some of the stuff I've done in my career in shops. I think that's quite cool. Maybe I'm just too into procurement, but I do think maybe we're not doing enough to show people what procurement is and the skill set it gives you and the foundations. I think, like I said, people can come into procurement from other areas. You can also leave procurement and go into lots of areas. The opportunities are almost endless if you've been looking at a category or a business unit or an area. That they will almost o always open arms if you wanted to move into that business unit because you are commercially astute and you understand what they want and need. So yeah, I do think there's a lot of work to be done on bringing in people earlier in their career to procurement.
And I think, maybe there's an onus on us as well to publicise procurement in a better way, because I know, looking at my daughter's school, they've got a careers evening in a couple of weeks' time, and when the note went out, it was like, well, we're interested to talk to people who work in the creative sector. We're interested to talk to people who are in STEM, which is maybe, the engineering. That's it's something that they've got a particular strategy around, and they're looking to develop children into those areas, but there will still be a lack of understanding within schools about procurement. Even in
Definitely.
within our businesses, we know people don't always understand what procurement is or what it does. So, we get that message out there and get
Yeah.
the schools interested in it more.
And I think even if we all took it on as like a smaller challenge amongst ourselves of doing something for our local schools or colleges or universities, because some of my friends are head teachers and teachers and they don't get what I do. So if they don't get it, then there's no way the children will ever know or hear about what I do. They'll say, oh yeah, we're back there, but Lauren works for John Lewis. They must think anything. I could have been on the tills, I could have been in the boardroom somewhere. But yeah, I think we maybe need to package ourselves up in the exciting way that we do when we talk to each other and when we're trying to maybe sell to the board or to our main stakeholders, but we don't often do just generally.
And what do you see as the number one risk for procurement?
I think the biggest risk for procurement as a whole at the moment is that we don't sell ourselves well enough into businesses and we can get kind of absorbed into other functions. I sit in functions all the time where procurement did have a place on the board and the next thing you know they're underneath somebody else. The next thing you know they're in property or finance and they're kind of being moved around and we haven't really made our stamp to explain why we're so critical and we deserve that. I hate this quote, but a seat at the table. And then I think the biggest challenge and or risk for procurement experts at the moment, for me personally, what I'm feeling anxious about is with the current economic climate, the loss of innovation. I always find the challenges and the startups and the smaller companies are the ones who struggle the most. And if they're really good, they'll get bought up by some of the bigger organizations. And if not, they might just exit the market. And I feel like you lose a lot of innovation from that. And I'm in a fast business at the moment, as everyone's aware. They love to do things and we love to innovate and be different. And I worry that we might have a period of time where, again, we're kind of back to monopolized markets and it's harder then to get them to bring real innovation, and not just be rolling out new sales pitches for other things.
Yeah, it's difficult, isn't it? I mean, you do see, especially in the tech sector, there's tons of solutions in a particular area, and then, as you say, they sort of consolidate down. But you go from this period of it's so complex, there's so many, I don't really know which one's the best one, to
Yeah.
oh, now it's only really Microsoft or Oracle, and it's like.
That's it. And it's like, how do we keep some of the challenges surviving on their own so they can keep challenging and putting pressure on those companies to be moving forward with the times? And I always think it's like the financial sector, like if Monzo could have ended up in the period we're in now, not making it, and actually they've been so good at challenging, and I mean at growing as a business, but challenging the banks, to keep innovating and keep them on their toes and provided us all with a new product and service that we as consumers can enjoy. So it's, yeah, for me, it's going to be a lot about how do I keep some of those suppliers out there, whether it's working with them or just supporting them or helping them access funding to keep the innovation going.
What would you say your biggest mistake is, and what did you learn?
Well, really interesting. My biggest mistake, and I won't name who they are, but I turned down a job about 7 or 8 years ago to go and start up a procurement function for one of these challengers who is now extremely successful household name. And I kick myself about it all the time. And do you know what it was? I didn't believe in myself enough. And I'm quite a confident person, but when I reflect back, I said, "Oh, I've never done that before." And they didn't have a problem with that. They were like, "No, but you've got the skill set, you've got the capability, you're the right person for us." And I said, "Yeah, do you know what? If it was me in 5 years, I'd come and do it." And I had fallen into the trap that I hate now, where I was looking at my tenure rather than my capability. And my pet peeve is when people say to me, "Oh, you're the young CPO, you're young enough." It's not about that. It's about how good you are. And if you're capable of doing something, we shouldn't be discriminating on someone's age or their experience in doing it. And I wish I'd done it, and I wish I'd done it to prove to everyone that like could have done it back then. I obviously went off and I've had a great career in it, and it's worked out fine. But yeah, that's my one mistake, that if I could go back, I'd definitely tell myself, no, go do it. And even if you couldn't do it, you're going to learn from it, and it's going to be a great experience. And I always say that to people, like, you don't need to be 90% of the job description to take the job. You just need to know 50 and be willing to commit yourself to learn the other 50 when you're there and put the energy into that.
That's always been my approach as well, is you can wait until you're ready for something, but actually if you wait too long, then you miss all the opportunities, don't you?
Yeah, and it can be boring. If I went in there and I could do it with my eyes closed, would I have wanted to do it? Probably not. I would have said, what am I learning here? So you do need a bit of challenge in your day job to keep it exciting.
This week's episode is sponsored by Acada, procurement technology to manage your pipeline, focusing your precious time on the right activity. What important truth about procurement do very few people agree with you on?
I think I get a lot of pushback when I say that my team, or myself, or anybody I've worked with can be an expert in the thing they're buying. And I say that in like a unique way. I don't mean that everything we buy, we know everything about it. But I do believe that we can become experts when we're going through a process and we're tendering stuff. I used to think, how can I get the best out of this? So if I was doing, I did, let me think of one, vertical transport, lifts and travelators. And I was doing it for one of the supermarkets, and I was doing a tender, and I was writing it, and I was like, well, what is that? So I went on visits. I went down travelators. Got up in the night and went with on PPM visits and did all this stuff. And I learned a lot. And I felt that with my commercial background and my contractual understanding of the relationship and the supplier, I was an expert in what I was buying. I then went and kind of learned from someone else. So I went and sat with TfL and said, you must buy more lifts than I buy. What can I learn from you and how you guys are working? Obviously, not breaching any kind of competitive issues, but there's stuff to be said for how I could have developed my knowledge in that area. And I felt that I brought the expertise then to not only the negotiation, but to writing of the scope of works, to making sure we were getting the best value out of that. So I do think lots of times stakeholders say, no, I'm the expert. I've been buying travelators for 52 years. But actually, we can also be experts. We can go out and develop that knowledge, and we can take their knowledge. I absorbed all of theirs and then went and got more to challenge some of their thinking. And I think that's something that we can definitely all push ourselves to do more of, become experts in something quickly and then let it go quickly. I don't know anything about lifts now, but I definitely at the time felt that I was up there with the clever people on lifts in the country.
Yeah, well, it would all come back to you, I'm sure, if you needed to do it again. But
Yeah,
it's
if I got stuck in one, I probably worked my way out.
yeah, it's I think that's a really, really good point, because that becoming an expert very quickly is a really key skill for procurement people. I think it's the people that really take the interest in what it is they're buying, and because you can get into the habit of here's another widget or grommet or service, and unless you get into the detail and you understand the cost drivers and you understand the marketplace, you can't really add the value that people want you to bring. And I think the other thing you said there about the sort of the experts in the field, especially in the travelator, is quite a good example in this way. But those people, they probably have to buy them every sort of 10 or 20 years, because they last for quite a long time. So they won't actually be up to speed with the marketplace necessarily. And for you to come in and sort of provide their expertise is actually that's a yeah that is a key skill for procurement.
Definitely.
Which book changed your thinking about procurement?
So it's called The Authority Gap by Mary Seahart. And it's actually not about procurement, but it's about why women are still taken less seriously in business than men. And it doesn't just end there. It's like, and what can we do about it? What are you doing about it? It was actually a man who recommended it to me, and he said it completely changed the way he thinks in a meeting, from little things to when men interrupt women when they're talking. And I gave it to my partner to read, and he said, I do these things all the time. And he was like, and I really truly believe that I treat everyone equally, because I think I don't take that in, because he was like, you as an individual will just tell me no and talk over the top of me, because like other people don't, and I need to take that away and action it. And I found it really interesting. The book split out into lots of different senior leaders in all different sectors, from politics through to celebrities, and how it's impacted them. And it's quite short snippets and learning. So I'd really recommend it. And then, yeah, but Never Split the Difference was my first procurement negotiation type book. And I felt that kind of just energized me into my competitive nature of what all negotiation's all about. I actually ended up writing my dissertation for my master's in leadership on negotiating and how we can negotiate virtually. And it just reminded me of all those things. Like, I hadn't thought about them for about 10 years, and it all came flooding back to me of tips, tricks, tactics, all the things you should be doing. And I do think there's some fundamentals in there that, as procurement people, we have to be able to negotiate. And I do like to hear from other CPOs, and I was reflecting on that this week, when they say my function and my team are the leaders in negotiation for the business. People come to us not just to negotiate for what we're buying for them, but when they've got other negotiations on their mind, they come to us and say, how do I do this? What can I learn from you? And I think that's a really good place for procurement to be the experts in that.
Yeah, I fully agree with that because that is it's a business skill that isn't done particularly well at a high level and across business. And I think if procurement's actually known for that, that's really powerful. It's better than being known for they sort of go in and cut costs, because I think anyone could do that. You can just put your budgets down by 10%, can't you? That's quite an easy thing to like to do. So if we're actually known for a proper skill that's really needed within business, that's really important. Should sustainability be a source of competitive advantage, or should we be working with our competitors to save the planet?
I definitely think it's something we should be working with our competitors on. I think we have lots of ways we can utilize sustainability within our organizations to develop competitive advantage, whether that's how you use the supplier or what you're doing with your marketing and messaging about that. But when it comes to things like carbon goals, and everyone knows Amazon run for 100% by 2040, so I've got my work cut out for me. I know that everybody else has their goal, and we're all going to be looking for the same emissions data. We're all going to be asking the suppliers to reduce it. We're all going to be asking for reports. And I think we should be making sure we're not looking to the suppliers to just take on more and more, because all that's going to happen to all of us is those suppliers, they will increase their costs to cover these asks, or they're going to start cutting corners elsewhere to enable themselves to have the time and the labor to do this. And then we will be getting less value, poor quality from their supply chain. So I definitely think it's something we should be working together on. I think there are many things that we can work cross company, cross organizations, across industries to learn from each other and to support each other. And I definitely do talk to my counterparts. I mean, as we all know, I've worked at most of my competitors in retail. But just about things like that, how we can be better together at driving things. And I was part of the program at John Lewis where we tried to help our suppliers by kind of eradicating the PQQ and saying that we ask the same questions that everybody asks, and if everyone could use the same portal and system, this could save suppliers a lot of time. Unfortunately, it didn't pick up as well as we'd liked, but I think back then maybe people were more reserved about knowledge sharing and working with others. I remember years ago, I went to do some work with Royal Mail, who were in different industry, completely different to me, and we were just talking about clothing and workwear. And I had to get a form signed off. I had to get board approval, to just what are you telling them? And I was like, there's nothing in this. There's no competitive advantage. There's no data, no commercials. It's simply how can we together improve? And it was about improving the sustainability, ironically, in the work where because we were two of the larger purchasers in the country at the time. So I think there's a lot where we can work collectively to do better for our supply chain, for our planet, and for each other.
Great. And how can people get hold of you?
Oh, it's really good. I'm trying to be more active on LinkedIn. It's one of my goals at the moment, although I'm not the best at social media, but I'm attempting to do that. And I am really up for, I'm always up for helping people if they want advice on careers and stuff. I've been talking to people over the last few days who are interested in moving into retail procurement and just at different places and learning different things. So if people feel free to message me on LinkedIn about that. And likewise, I have, as I mentioned before, love learning from other sectors and other people. And I think at the moment we are all facing into the same challenges with sustainability and carbon, and we're all going to be asking the same things of our supply chain, who are the same. And I think we should really be collaborating on this, because it would be wrong for us to be asking them to do things or to do the same thing in different formats for all of us, and to waste their time and money and energy like that, when we should be able to come together as adults and as senior leaders of our companies or respective experts and say, this is the format that we're all going to ask for this data to be presented in. This is how we're going to access it. This is how we're going to communicate about it. And that's not going to cause anyone any competitive advantage or disadvantage. That is just us being sensible about the sustainability of our suppliers, and the labor and effort they need to put into that. And likewise, when we went through COVID, I worked with tons of people in different procurement teams where we were just helping each other out and just giving each other advice. So I'm always up for that. And you probably see me around talking at SIPs events and other things. So,
Thanks for joining us today, Lauren. Great to talk. Thanks for listening. Do like and share and subscribe to hear the next procurement conversation.